Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. Watermelon sugar high. It's beautiful out. Yeah, watermelon sugar. I love that tune.
That's great.
I would have never thought I'd be a Harry Styles fan. One of the guys from One Direction? What? No? No. Guys, the guy's great.
Did we ever figure out what he's saying? What exactly watermelon sugar is?
Oh, yeah. We figured it out.
The taste of it. We did.
You just want to talk about that more? Is that
no,
what,
I'm just,
is
I'm
that
just wondering if that was,
that,
a,
you just
if
that
was
established.
Well, who doesn't want to talk about that, Sarah? I mean, honestly.
I don't want to.
I'm with Bryn.
Why
don't
the
it's
two
great...
of you talk about it for a while, then? Go ahead. I'm completely fine with it. I'd love to hear you dance around the subject of what watermelon sugar is.
I was curious to see if we actually established what it actually was. You know, I love watermelon. It's delicious.
Yeah, I do too. You know what I like to do is lay on my back and then just have the watermelon smashed right into my face. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That way I just like you can barely breathe. It's with the weight of the watermelon right there on your face. It's nice.
Sweetness.
Delicious. Yeah. So good. Mm. Just cram it in.
My mouth is watering.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt. I mean, you guys are.
I think we need you to save us, please.
I don't know. Sometimes you swim out far enough. I can't save you.
I feel like I've already said too much. Let's get
to
the trash.
Oh, I don't know. That's, you know, I was about to join in and say I like watermelon too, but it doesn't seem like I like it as much as you guys. I guess I'll. My,
I just want to taste it. Right? That's one of the lyric, right?
I'm listening. Yeah. Again, with not wanting to get in the way. Yeah, Bryn. Yeah. So to answer your question, Bryn, yes, we've talked about this. And I believe you looked it right up, right? When it first
I looked it up. I don't remember if we figured out exactly what it means. Sometimes
people know exactly what it means.
The way people use metaphors, not always one thing.
Look, people like food. All right. You know?
Yep.
Don't
slug life.
Slug life all the way. Anyway, hi. So if you hear us talking about something, maybe you should put up a link to what watermelon sugar means on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page.
You don't need to.
It's brought to you by the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, where you'll find helpful links that'll clear things right up for you. If we mention it on air and you're like, I want more information on that, just head to the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. We post crap up there all the time. I mean, I don't mean crap, because I'm thinking about what we posted up there today. I know we put up the Michael Franti thing, his appearance on the Today Show yesterday. And that's excellent. It's just, if you want to have a stupid smile on your face, just watch him start to sing that song. And then I'm like, oh my God, my face hurts from smiling so much. Okay, let's jump in. This isn't fun. But this is actually, really a good example of how racism is so deeply embedded in the messages that were sent every day in white America. Like, it just never even occurs to you. You're numb to it. Like, it's just coming at you, and we're being exposed to this stuff right now, and it's jaw-dropping at times. Like, oh yeah, I can see why that would be a super bothersome thing to have thrown in your face that doesn't even affect me because I'm white. Aunt Jemima, we talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Quaker Foods.
Quaker Oats, or the company Quaker Foods, is the owner of a few. I think they own Uncle Ben's too, right?
And they're talking about that as well, but they're starting with Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima.
By the way, yesterday when I did the story, I was like, my family, I grew up with the log cabin, thinking I'm not part of this. I went out to my fridge after our show while I was getting, I don't know what I was getting, but it doesn't matter. But I looked down and went, oh, look at that. There's some Aunt Jemima syrup in my thing. I don't even notice stuff like this. That's right. How normalized it is. I've got it in my kitchen and yeah. didn't even realize.
Well, and that's, it really does speak to kind of the insidiousness of this whole white supremacy thing. Like, look, if you even scratch at the surface a little bit, you start to go, holy crap. you know, unbeknownst to you, wherever you grew up, you know, surrounded by white people, like, you thought, well, how could I be racist? I didn't, wasn't even exposed to black people. It turns out society's geared that way. You know, it's all set up for the white people.
Okay, so tell us what we're
looking
at.
Okay, so as I'm looking into, you know, you had mentioned this yesterday, Aunt Jemima has been a huge name in pancakes and syrup for 130 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really think about pancakes except at breakfast. Like, oh, wouldn't that be nice to have some pancakes? So it's just not something that crosses your mind. It's coming to an end. Quaker Foods said, we're scrapping the name and image because its origins were based on a racial stereotype. Aunt Jemima is a black woman who was originally dressed as a minstrel character. Her likeness was based on an actual woman named Nancy Green, who was born into slavery. Her image has changed over time. She used to wear, they call it a mammy kerchief, which nodded back to the days of slavery. And they had removed that a while ago. And, you know, now they're saying, look, as we work to make progress toward racial equality through several initiatives, we must also take a hard look at our portfolio of brands and ensure they reflect our values and meet our customers' expectation. This is going to take time, but they're saying that Aunt Jemima will be gone by the end of the year. No word on a new name or how they're going to rebrand it. My guess is, though, you know, they'll do some fun corporate thing like, hey, America, vote on a new name, or, you know, you can do the branding. So this is coming during a time of widespread protests. I don't need to tell you. Over racial inequality and injustice. A lot of people have been attacking racism everywhere. And there's a singer named Kirby. She did a little attack on Aunt Jemima. Did I send you this, Brinster?
Yes.
You got this ready to go? She's basically saying, let me make you breakfast.
Did you know the name Aunt Jemima means slave mammy of the plantation South? Did you know the founder, Chris Rutz, a white man, got the name after attending a minstrel show? Think blackface. Did you also know he hired former slave Nancy Green to be his very own Aunt Jemima, where she went around cooking pancakes and telling people stories of the good old South? And afterwards, they could take home a box of Aunt Jemima and that feeling of having their very own mammy. Not today. Black lives matter, people. Even over breakfast.
And now she's dumping, like, this pancake stuff into the sink. Neil deGrasse Tyson said yesterday, he's a scientist and astronomer, it's not that Aunt Jemima was a symbol of a racist past. She was the very embodiment of a racist past. She will not be missed by anyone who knew that. Not the only brand, Aunt Jemima. Uncle Ben's Rice, Mrs. Butterworth Syrups apparently also have a black spokeswoman.
I think the bottle is shaped like the woman, isn't it?
I think it is. Isn't it? Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Yes.
Cream of Wheat. You know, it's funny. As soon as I saw Cream of Wheat, I went, yeah, there's a black chef on there. But apparently, it wasn't always because so what? You know, black people can be chefs. But it wasn't always that way. And I was looking at some of the old logos of Cream of Wheat. I eat Cream of Wheat all the time. I love Cream of Wheat. I grew up on it. Porridge. And actually, let me see if I can find, because I was looking. Oh, there's a good story, by the way, in CNN Business. Cream of Wheat is reviewing its black mascot after Aunt Jemima and others acknowledge their racist roots. They've got some photos of the old labels for Cream of Wheat on there from earlier in the 1900s. But they're
Bryn
talking
just
about
pulled up Butterworth. There's the bottle.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Mrs. Butterworth.
But that's not in Quaker Oats.
No, that is
portfolio,
ConAgra.
Okay.
Which makes Mrs. Butterworth. They said they're going to conduct a complete brand and packaging review. We can see that our packaging may be interpreted in a way that's wholly inconsistent with our values. Mars Inc. owns Uncle Ben's, and they were saying, now is the right time to evolve the Uncle Ben's brand. We don't know what the exact changes in timing will be, but we're evaluating all our possibilities. The company that makes Cream of Wheat said, we're initiating an immediate review of the brand packaging, which features a smiling black chef. Their mascot was a black man named Rastus, which has been considered an offensive term for black men. I don't know the word Rastus. So please, my apologies if you're reeling from me saying that. There's a guy named Greg Carr. He is a professor of Africana Studies at Howard University. He said racist brands have persisted for so long because Americans have grown numb to their origins, and the subtle and common dehumanization of black people is what makes it possible for Americans to accept police brutality and other forms of systemic racism. That's really how white supremacy works, Carr said. It's most potent when it's invisible. It isn't the overt, in-your-face, clearly offensive image. It's the one that has so penetrated your consciousness until it's almost as if you don't see it, which is Aunt Jemima.
Right.
And look, there. So there's the, that's, I think that's the current front of a cream of wheat box. Like, I'm sure I have that in my pantry right now. So there's that. There's going to be a lot of revision. They were talking, too, in the CNN business story on this. They were talking about restaurants that, like, I guess there's still a Sambo's down in Los Angeles area. And that's, it's the last one of what used to be a pretty large chain. And that one's going to go away. But they're talking about,
I'm not familiar. What is that?
Well, Sambo was a little boy. I think he's supposed to be of Indian descent. And he's like, I want to say there's like a tiger running around a tree. I definitely was exposed to that as a child. Little black Sambo's. Right. So apparently there was a whole restaurant chain attached to that.
I've never heard of that.
Let me see if I can find the location, Vinny. I think they said it was in Los Angeles.
One of the things that I, as you brought this story up, I was reading about the University of Virginia, which is changing its athletics logo over its links to slavery. And there have been others. So many colleges go back to the early 1900s, and in some cases before that, even earlier. And so racism is part of those old Southern schools. And for example, Ole Miss used to have they're the Ole Miss Rebels. That's their name. Mm. And we know the rebel flag is an issue. And now they'd already, and apparently they must have caught a bunch of crap because I never. But they had Ole Reb, and he was a Colonel Sanders-looking dude, a plantation owner type, was their logo forever. They've gotten rid of him since, but it must have been due to protest, right?
Yeah. Because
otherwise they wouldn't have gotten rid of him. But now they just have a different logo, and the University of Virginia is just slightly changing something, but they were able to look at the logo and go, oh, that has roots in slavery. Wow. And they changed it. So they're in the news today having changed their logo because the V Saber logo, the old design featured two cross sabers with serpentine handles. The handles were a reference to serpentine walls on the UVA campus that were originally constructed to keep enslaved people out of public view.
Oh.
So while at school, you wouldn't see people outside the school dealing with slavery.
Right.
You know.
You know, as I'm looking at this, I found the thing about Sambo's restaurant.
Last
week, the nation's last Sambo's restaurant in Santa Barbara, California, announced it was going to change its name, which is a racial slur. It's an 1899 book about a dark-skinned South Indian boy, and it became a pejorative for African Americans. You can't believe some of the I don't even want to read them on the air. These are names of restaurants that. Like, they're, oh, my God. I don't, you know what? CNN Business. They've got a really, type in CNN Business, cream of wheat, and read this thing. You can't
believe. I'm from Southern Cal, though, and I've never heard of that or seen the logo.
Yeah, Santa Barbara is where that one, the very last one of them. There's one in Salt Lake City that is, it's just horrible. There's one outside Chicago. I'll tell you this one. Richard's Restaurant and Slave Market. And they used all these racist themes to the delight of white customers. So, you know, look, it's time. Those are gone, by the way, that one in particular. I think that one was overt enough that they got rid of that. There's the Sambo's restaurant there. Fun place for family food. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to change the name. So anyway, there's that. The next item up for bids is a little kid, 12 years old. His name is Lonnie Chavis, and he is in the cast of This Is Us, which is that's an NBC show, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people love it. It seems to be the one that really gets people crying.
Right, and it's a pretty diverse group of characters, and it's this kid is a black man, a black child. He's 12 years old. And he wrote an essay for People magazine where he lays out kind of just a heartbreaking amount of racism that he's already experienced in his life. And this kid's, you know, he's a star on a TV show. He talks about being treated poorly by security or entrance checkers at Hollywood events, having people at those events ask him if he's the kid from Blackish or Stranger Things. He says he remembers going to a restaurant in San Diego with a black friend and her cousins where they were accused of trying to steal money from the tip cup at the register. He talks about the time his mother was driving him to work in a BMW and she got stopped. And the first thing the cop said when he got to her window was, "Whose car is this?" She had to open the trunk to get the paperwork to prove it was their car. He said, "I watched the cop hold his hand on his gun as if my mom was a threat." Thanksgiving 2018, I guess he would have been about 10 at that point, a cop twisted my dad's arm behind his back and pulled him from our doorstep with the door opened, claiming he was being detained for a traffic ticket. Lonnie's mother, this kid Lonnie Chavez, again, he's a 12-year-old, one of the stars on This Is Us. His mom took him and his siblings to a bedroom, closed them in, and said, "Get away from the windows and do not come out no matter what you hear." She goes back outside to help her husband, and this little boy says, "I thought my parents were for sure going to die." He says, "This is what the world looks like for me, a 12-year-old black boy. This is my America. Policies need to change. Laws need to change. The police need to change. Hollywood needs to change. Hearts need to change. America needs to change." And his full essay is in People magazine. Netflix. Oh, geez. You know what? This is slightly better news. So here we go. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings and his wife Patty Quillen on Wednesday committed $120 million to two historically black colleges and the United Negro College Fund, making it the biggest individual donation ever to support scholarships to reverse generations of inequity in the U.S. The donation will enable 200 four-year scholarships over 10 years for students. They name a couple different colleges here, and apparently each of these institutions is also going to get $40 million. They said in a statement, "Both of us had the privilege of a great education, and we want to help more students, in particular students of color, get the same start in life." All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
He's a good dude. I have a buddy who's friends with him.
And, is that so?
Yeah, and he's apparently a really cool guy and pretty normal dude, despite being a tech multi, I don't know if he's a billionaire, sure. But... you know,
that's Netflix CEO Reed Hastings.
Right. I will get to that board game story. I'll do some fast facts and more coming up after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.